everybody. This is Maya, and you're listening to Harmony Inside Out, the show that discusses how to improve your lifestyle, be in harmony with nature, and enhance your mental health. Today, we have a special guest, the first guest of my show, adjunct instructor of psychology, Stephanie Winard, who is also the faculty advisor for the Pierce College Vegan Society Club. Welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. So first off, tell me about your journey. How long have you been vegan, and what made you change your lifestyle?
Oh, well, I've been vegan now about 14 years, and then I was an ovo-lacto vegetarian before that for about another, 15 years. So I actually haven't had meat in close to 30 years.
Wow.
But what inspired me to make the transition from an ovo-lacto vegetarian to full vegan, one of the things was that, I'm a passionate environmentalist. And so I came across a study in 2006 by the United Nations, and it's called Livestock's Long Shadow. And this study revealed that animal agriculture is responsible for more greenhouse gas emissions than the entire world's transportation sector combined. And so that really motivated me, because I care deeply about our environment and protecting our planet for future generations. So I actually pretty much went vegan overnight once I read about that study, because I consider myself to be a serious, environmentalist, and I just could no longer justify continuing to eat animal products and still call myself an environmentalist.
Yeah.
And then about the same time, I also started to become informed about the cruelty of the dairy industry, because I'm a little embarrassed to admit, but really up to that point, I didn't know. Information wasn't as widely available as it is now. But I just started to find out, how cruel to animals, the dairy industry is. And so that also motivated me, to make the change. And, I'm so glad I did. I consider it to be one of the best decisions I ever made, and I will never go back.
So that's a big sacrifice. Was it hard? Because you said it was you pretty much changed your lifestyle in one day. Was it hard, the process of, adjusting to the new lifestyle?
It really was not that hard. It's not a big leap from being a vegetarian to a vegan. The only thing that was a little challenging at first was cheese. So that's a really common thing you'll hear. People say, I could go vegan except cheese. I just love cheese so much. But honestly, after 3 days, I was over it. So for me, it was not that hard. But nowadays, it's way easier, because there are so many great vegan cheeses on the market now that are game changers. So it makes it a lot easier to make the transition. But, I think that's a common myth, that it's going to be hard or that it's going to be a limited way of eating. But actually, the opposite is true. When people transition to a plant-based diet, they find that it expands their diet. You just open yourself out to, 70,000 edible plants. Or a great example is when people do shift from cow milk to a plant-based milk, they go from drinking one kind of milk, cow milk, to drinking almond milk, soy milk, rice milk, coconut milk, hemp milk, cashew milk. And so that's just one example of how it actually expands your dietary palate.
Yeah, funny you say that, because I listened to another podcast, and they were talking about how people go from, hating to cook to actually looking for recipes and new recipes, and, enjoying it, enjoying the journey. So key question, is all vegan food healthy?
Short answer, no. I mean, because of course potato chips, French fries and ice cream, can all be, are all vegan.
Yes.
So if you're going to survive on, potato chips and vegan ice cream, that's not going to be the healthiest way. Now, is vegan ice cream healthier than its dairy counterpart? Yes. You know, so it depends. You know, I'm a big fan of Dr. Michael Greger, the nutrition scientist, and he always says, like when people ask you, is this healthy, you always have to ask yourself, well, compared to what, you know?
Yeah.
So is, you know, vegan ice cream healthier than a plate of kale? No. But is vegan ice cream healthier than its dairy counterpart? Yes, because the vegan ice cream will at least have no cholesterol, and it will be lower in saturated fat. Is it still going to have sugar? Yes, you know? So it always kind of depends what you're comparing it to. But generally speaking, if a person is eating whole plant foods, you know, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, some nuts and seeds, and keeping it whole base, you know, whole plant foods, it's going to be quite healthy.
All right.
Yeah.
So there's a study that says our mood is influenced by our gut. And as a psychologist, what can you say about that? Is that true?
Our mood is influenced by our gut. I'm not familiar with the specific study that you're referencing, but what I can say is that our mood is definitely influenced by the food that we put in our body. I mean, that for sure. I mean, even just using your common sense, you know, you don't necessarily have to have a PhD in psychology. Just you know, when you're eating really healthy, you know, you just feel better. You know, when you're eating a lot of junk food, you know, you just don't feel as good. In fact, a lot of people who suffer from depression, in many cases, it's due to their lifestyle. And if they just change their lifestyle, you know, they would not be depressed. And so, of course, probably the biggest part of one's lifestyle is their diet, you know, in determining whether or not it's healthy. But absolutely, I mean, when you're not eating right, it most definitely can affect your mood. I mean, in so many different ways. You know, a vegan diet, you feel very energetic, you feel very light, so that's going to affect your mood. You know, consuming a lot of animal products, a person's going to be consuming a lot of added hormones. And so, of course, hormones are powerful, and they can absolutely affect, you know, your mood. So there's no question. So, you know, if you're consuming plant foods, you're going to avoid all those unnecessary added hormones,
right,
which can act as endocrine disruptors. And so an endocrine disruptor is just some kind of substance or chemical that affects one's endocrine system. Your endocrine system consists of a bunch of glands that secrete hormones. So, you know, it's been found for example, the American Pediatric Association has said that all of the hormones in dairy, they do act as endocrine disruptors.
Oh,
and that's
wow.
why, they theorize that's why we're seeing, you know, significant increase in things like early onset puberty in young girls. You know, they say it's probably related to the hormones in dairy,
wow,
just as one example. But yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, what you eat is for sure going to affect your mood.
Yeah. All right. People say that vegan food is expensive. And I know a lot of people don't agree with that because you can't, if you want, you will find a way. What can you say about that?
You know, that's such a great question. Again, a myth. It's actually the opposite is true, that vegan food is some of the most affordable food that you'll find in the grocery store, because things like rice and beans are some of the most affordable foods that you can buy, and also the healthiest, some of the best foods that you can buy, healthiest for the individual, but also for the environment. So, you know, I think that's not true. I know when I went vegan, like my food budget, it stretches so far. Now, I think people say that if you're eating out, if you're going to like fancy vegan restaurants, yeah, then of course it's going to be, you know, more expensive, but that's going to be whether you're eating vegan food or meat, you know, a meat-based diet, you know, eating out is always going to be more expensive. Or if you're buying a lot of these, you know, now there are so many of these meat alternatives or dairy alternatives on the market, and if you're really, you know, using that as your staple, then that could add up on your grocery bill. But again, back to if you're just buying the whole plant-based foods, it's going to be a lot cheaper. I mean, meat, for example, is very expensive to produce, so it tends to be more expensive because to produce meat, it requires so many more resources, so much more water, so much more land. They use more fossil fuels, so it's just so much more expensive to produce. So that's frequently why, you know, you go to Trader Joe's and you can get a block of organic tofu for $1.99, and then you go, I mean, you can feed a family of four with that, you know, add some vegetables and rice or whatever you like. You're not going to be able to do that, if you're buying meat.
Yes, you can always grow your own food.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the healthiest way with, you know, everything that they put in our food right now. So being vegan is considered healthy, but so we talk about how good it is for us, but it's also good for environment. Let's talk about this for a little bit, because just recently we had fires, and the study says that it's related to the meat consumption and the, you know, production of meat, the fire that was just recently in Brazil.
Oh, right. So of course we've had the terrible burning of the Amazon, and absolutely it is related to meat consumption, because they're burning the fire. You know, it's the one of the leading causes of deforestation around the world is animal agriculture. So these forests are cleared to either make room for a pasture for the animals to graze, or to grow the foods that feed the animals. So they clear these forests, for example, to grow soy. Now, 70% of the world's soy is fed to animals raised for food. So absolutely, this is all, you know, the demand for cheap meat is fueling the deforestation of the Amazon forest. We've had terrible, on a related note, we've had these terrible fires here in California, you know, closer to home. Studies from Stanford University, they have put the blame on climate change. You know, climate change is one of the factors that is intensifying our wildfires here in California. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, it's all related, because animal agriculture is a leading cause of climate change. So, you know, all these issues are connected.
Yes. What are the things and actions we can take to help the environment? We heard about the solution for plastic bags and for plastic straws. What else we can do as individuals to help the environment?
Honestly, the number one action that a person can take to help the environment is to practice a vegan lifestyle. Even a recent study out of Oxford University by Marco Springman is the name of the lead author. This study came out, I want to say, like a couple years ago. It's very recent. And this study from Oxford University, the authors clearly said that going vegan is the single, most effective action that a person can take to help the environment. There's no industry as destructive to our planet and our environment as animal agriculture. I mean, animal agriculture is a leading cause of climate change, as we already said, of resource depletion, water pollution, deforestation, ocean dead zones. It just goes on and on. By practicing a vegan lifestyle, we can greatly reduce our own individual greenhouse gas footprint. We use way less water. Our water footprint's much lower. We're voting with our fork. You know, we're creating demand for a different kind of world that's not so harmful to our planet and all life on it.
All right, so for people who want to transition and try vegan diet, silly question, where do you get your protein if you don't eat meat?
Yeah, not a silly question.
Some people don't know.
Right? It's like one of the most common questions. It's very simple, because all plant foods contain protein. I forgot to mention, I'm also certified in plant-based nutrition as well.
Amazing.
Yes, all plant foods contain protein, and, you know, we've basically been conditioned to believe that we need way more protein than we actually need. We actually don't need need that much protein. Protein was one of the first nutrients to be discovered. And they actually called it the stuff of life because they, you know, scientists quickly figured out that the organism would die if they didn't have protein. But it was incorrect to believe that, you know, more and more protein is good. You know, protein in excess is actually not beneficial for us. In fact, protein in excess can cause, you know, disease. So on the standard American diet, Americans tend to get way more protein than they actually need. So, you know, according to organizations such as the World Health Organization, we only need about 8 to 10% of our daily caloric intake to be protein. And even that's on the high side. Mm-hmm. And on the standard American diet, Americans tend to get anywhere from 14 to 22% of their daily caloric intake of protein, which is way more than we need. And so hence, that's why we have the high heart disease rates and cancer, type 2 diabetes rates to go along with that. But truth be told, if a person is eating enough calories to stay alive, they're going to be meeting their daily protein needs.
Interesting.
So it's generally only in, you know, populations that are malnourished, you know, due to poverty or famine, or where people are not getting enough calories to stay alive, where they will have a protein deficiency. So there's a lot of confusion about this issue in the United States, but on, you know, you can talk to medical doctors and ask them, like, have you ever treated a person with a protein deficiency? They almost all will say no. I mean, mm-hmm. It's just unheard of, you know, and yet Americans are obsessed with this notion of getting enough protein. You know, really what we should be concerned with is fiber deficiency. That is a real thing. Most people on the standard American diet are not getting enough fiber, and that's, you know, been known, that's correlated with a lot of different diseases, not getting enough fiber. So, but yeah, truth be told, you know, most vegans, we don't even think about the protein issue. We don't count grams of protein. You know, we just, as long as you're eating a wide variety of, you know, fruits, vegetables, whole grains and legumes, and eating enough calories to stay alive, you're getting enough protein. You know, the American Dietetic Association, they have said that vegan diets are safe and appropriate for all stages of life, including pregnancy, lactation, early childhood, adolescence, all through adulthood, and they also even specify for athletes as well.
Oh, yeah.
So athletes, you know, do need a little bit, you know, higher protein intake because of all the exercise that they do. But even for athletes, even for elite athletes, a vegan diet, they can achieve all their protein goals.
Yeah, I feel like it becomes more popular. There are a lot of vegan athletes, very successful ones. So do you think the obesity number in the U.S. is linked to the consumption of animal products?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question. Just looking, for example, at cheese. All right, so in the American dietary landscape, cheese is the number one source of saturated fat. You know, cheese is about 70% to 80% saturated fat. So it's very high in fat. But we can look back to, say, like the 1920s, where Americans were only eating something like, you know, 6 ounces of cheese a year. And now fast forward to, you know, 2019, and Americans are consuming on average like 2 pounds of cheese a year. So, you know, there's no question that you can see that the obesity rate has increased at a parallel rate to, you know, this increase in animal products. Mm-hmm. So there's absolutely a clear correlation between the two. And, you know, we definitely need a cultural change and a shift in the way people eat here in the United States. There's no question.
What can we do on campuses at schools? Because the only food we can see is French fries and burgers and pizza. How we can change that to have more fresh food, vegetables?
It's frustrating. It does feel like an uphill battle often. So, I mean, we can just request it, you know, just let them know in our food court and at the Brahma Cafe, you know, what we want. And, you know, because they tend to respond to the demand. So we can do that. I mean, our club, the Vegan Society, you know, we it is a little frustrating because I don't know, did you go to school here when the Brahma Cafe was the Freudian Sip? or no. Okay, so the Brahma Cafe used to be the Freudian Sip, and we actually had a campaign, and we got them to offer so many wonderful vegan options. They made so much progress. Like, in the glass case, one shelf was almost all vegan products. Great, like wraps and all sorts of choices. Well, now I've noticed since they changed to the Brahma Cafe that they've gone completely backwards, and there's really hardly any, you know, vegan options now. And that's just so frustrating, because now we feel like we have to start over and start the campaign and work on that again. So it does feel like an uphill battle. Now, in the food court, they've added a few things. Like, they do have the Beyond Burger available, but they could do so much better, honestly. Yes. They hardly have anything. I mean, I don't know why they even bother having the little vegan icon on the menu that they can, you know, it says, like, there's like a leaf, and it says if it's next to the menu item, it's vegan, because it's only next to like two things. So why even bother? But, you know, our club, we've had signature campaigns requesting more vegan options. You know, we've done surveys trying to get suggestions from our community and so on and so forth. And it is a little frustrating, because we make two steps forward and then they just go backwards.
Yes.
So all we can really keep doing is continue to, you know, just make our requests and just try to gently nudge them in that direction.
Yes. Yeah. So what is the one thing you wish people would know about being vegan?
I mean, I think I'd like people to know that it's really not that hard. It's never been easier, honestly. But you can be vegan anywhere as long as you have access to fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, and maybe nuts and seeds. That's all you need. So you could be vegan anywhere. But nowadays, it's never been easier, because there are so many of these wonderful plant-based alternative products on the market. They're widely available now. They're not just in health food stores. You could go to Ralph's. You could go to Vons, or, you know, any of these markets, even, you know, Target, and you can find these products. And then also, eating out is very easy. I mean, here in Los Angeles, we're very lucky because it's a vegan haven.
Yes.
We're up to something like at least close to, I believe, 100% vegan restaurants here in Los Angeles. But even the non-vegan restaurants, they all have at least a couple options that are vegan. So it's honestly, you know, never been easier. It's really just requires saying the words out loud, and then everything kind of falls into place, you know, once you do that. So it's really not that hard. It's actually not a sacrifice. I find it to be a joy, you know, because it's just so much fun to try all different kinds of food and expand one's palate.
Yes, and you learn a lot in the process.
Yes, absolutely. And another thing is you make so many great new friends. Myself, you know, when I became vegan and really sort of threw myself into the vegan community here in Los Angeles, I have just enjoyed so much all the different people I have met in the vegan community, and people who are just so inspiring and so amazing with the things that they do. Everyone from filmmakers to you know, to professional athletes, to, you know, activists, to, you know, you name it. Just so many amazing people.
Yes,
so.
And the best thing, it's for the great cause. So
yes,
it's not very selfish. It's, you know, for the bigger things. What are the tips for Pierce College students?
For Pierce College students, I mean, you know, one thing they could do is maybe bring some snacks or bring their lunch to campus, because unfortunately, as we were saying, there's not that many great vegan options here. So, you know, in the meantime, you know, a great thing to do is just to, you know, pack your lunch or bring some snacks. Just always make sure you have like some nuts or a granola bar or a banana, something like that, so you don't get too hungry. Is something you can do. Joining the vegan club is a great tip, because it's so helpful if you have a support system, and it's anytime someone wants to make a lifestyle change, if you can surround yourself with like-minded people and just make some friends who are on the same page as you, that is hugely helpful. So, you know, joining the vegan club, we meet on Thursdays at 12:45 in the Student Engagement Center below the library, and everybody's welcome.
All right, that's awesome. So can you give me a couple more words about the vegan club? What do you guys do there?
We do all sorts of things. We do a lot of outreach on campus where we set up on the mall and we give free samples of vegan food and also vegan starter guides and information. We usually screen at least one film every semester. Mm-hmm. We plan events like we always do an Earth Day event in the spring semester. The last couple years we've had a big vegan day where we have speakers, live music, of course tons of vegan food. We play games for prizes and just like a really fun event.
Sounds like fun.
And we do sometimes we do things off campus, like we have potlucks, vegan potlucks, or we visit animal sanctuaries. This nice. Semester we're probably going to volunteer at our local animal sanctuary in Reseda, Kindred Spirits. We've gone to protests together. And demonstrations off campus. So we do all sorts of things. Just depends what the students want to do.
Great. So thank you for coming here today and sharing with us. This was Maya Lasinska, and you've been listening to KPCRadio.com.